All right, it's 3 minutes after the hour, hour two of the show, and man, I'm so glad we got the phones righted here in time to have Jay Mariotti join me on the show here tonight. Another edition of Proudly Unhirable. Of course, we couldn't get him on Tuesday of this week, but we do have him now. I believe it is Jay Mariotti from his home in California on the Dino Costa Show. Hi, Jay. Jay, are you there? Oh, hold on. Jay, you there?
I am here.
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. I had a button that needed to be pushed. How are you, my friend? How you doing out there?
Well, I was fine until I just read that Governor Gavin Newsom says that 25 million Californians will have the coronavirus at some point. So one of every two, and do the math.
I spent the first hour, I don't think, Jay, I don't know if anybody else has said this, but I said it in the first hour. I said, based on everything I've read, all the reputable, credible people that I've considered with some of the things that they've said over the last couple of weeks leading up until today, in a recent column that I read some excerpts out of in the first hour here tonight, in the headline of the piece, we're not going back to normal. Social distancing is here to stay for much more than a few weeks. It will upend our way of life in some ways forever. Jay, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am terribly wrong, and I've got to eat crow. Jay, I don't think the NBA is coming back this year. And when I say this year, I mean for the rest of the calendar year. The NHL, I don't think Major League Baseball gets up off the deck and plays this year. And I don't even think that the National Football League kicks off in September.
Well, far beyond that, Dino, is the expectation of a return to previous normalcy in this country, in this world, now completely gone forever? I mean, I'm having a real hard time even talking about sports, except, as usual, it is the missteps of sports that keep it relevant right now. This week has been hideous, the NFL continuing business. In the NBA, we now have at least 10 cases of players contracting the virus in the NBA. Why the hell didn't this commissioner, who is being lauded and praised everywhere, shut down these games about a month ago? I think when I first started doing your show about a month ago, I said, why are we having these games? And this commissioner, Adam Silver, I've said nice things about, and you have too, but now the reality that this league where players literally drip sweat on each other every single night, how many NBA players have been infected by this while playing in games that could have been called off weeks ago? So sports has absolutely disgusted me this week, but it's so much bigger than sports, and I'm trying to remain upbeat. I mean, I'm looking for, it's cool that various artists are having streaming concerts in their living rooms. That's cool. And I'm seeing some creative things out there, and, you know, technology has been so horrific in recent years and how it's created hatred in the world. And right now, people are trying to use technology creatively to help each other. I think that's a positive. But I just told you, when my own governor says half of you out there will be contracting this, it puts a shiver up my spine.
You mentioned the NFL. I talked about it earlier this week based off a phone call I had with someone, Jay, and this person said he feels that the NFL has postured itself in a very arrogant position where he feels insulted that the NFL is going on conducting business as usual, as though, you know, nothing else is going on. The NBA shut down, Major League Baseball, the NHL. I hear it in your voice, I think, if you can expand upon that, that the NFL, that bothers you that the NFL is still, you know, free agency is going on and Brady and all, you know, the draft coming up in Las Vegas. They say they're going to do it without any fans. How do you feel about the NFL continuing operations?
Well, think about how crass and cavalier, Dino, this league has been throughout the concussion crisis, fighting legal attempts to get money to retired players who have CTE, and there's Goodell and the boys fighting them legally in court and finally agreeing to a settlement. So why should I be surprised at all, amid the coronavirus, that the league is conducting business? Now, the league will tell you behind the scenes, the players' union wanted this because of free agency. The almighty Commissioner Roger Goodell, after cutting a new collective bargaining agreement over the weekend, now has the power to have delayed this and said, whoa, no free agency movement, nothing, hold off, this is not appropriate, let's wait. This week has been a joke. I would have thought Tom Brady, of all people, would have said, look, I'm Tom Brady. I'm a responsible American. I have a brain in my head. And I'm sorry, I have made a decision, but I'm going to hold off announcing this for several weeks. It doesn't matter in the scope of the world. Nope. We go through this whole soap opera, and there's Bob Kraft with, you know, talking to reporters, and Belichick puts out a statement. And at least Brady has said nothing since. But this flurry of free agency and this movement and cutting players, Todd Gurley, you know, fired today. What the hell is going on? You talk about a parallel universe. I am disgusted. Now, of course, you won't see any of this on ESPN, this sort of commentary, because they're trying to figure out their own business as cords are being cut every single hour. So, yeah, I'm disgusted with sports more than ever. Shut it down, guys. I don't want to hear from any more of you at all. It doesn't matter. And so, at some point, you know, they're going to figure it out. But yesterday, Adam Silver, we're still trying to come up with a way to have a point where we could start the season. Maybe we'll have a charity game. Are you freaking kidding me? Go lock yourself up, Adam, and come out in 5 months, maybe.
Okay. And that and everything that you've just said, that column will be appearing in The Athletic tomorrow by one of their writers, right?
another publication I'm very concerned about. I mean, I'm still reading the NBA mock draft 4.0 version. they don't get it, Dino.
No.
Because, you know, I'm sure the people who run these publications, the people who run ESPN, they're fighting for their lives. They're telling their people, stick to sports, only do coronavirus when it matters, stick to sports. So I almost wonder if there's a little conspiracy between the NFL and ESPN this week to keep the football talk out there so that there will be something to talk about on these shows. Otherwise, could you imagine Stephen A. Smith going, why aren't there more coronavirus tests in this country? Could you imagine him doing that this week?
No.
Yeah, I'm beyond pissed off. I'm mortified that my industry doesn't get it and simply shuts it down. But Medina, they're saving their ass. They're worried about their industry and we're it becoming very irrelevant. Somebody I know got a phone call from the Golden State Warriors this week wondering if they wanted to buy season tickets for next year. I mean, I could go on and on about how delusional the sports world is.
Well, right? You know, and one of the things I mentioned in the first hour at the tail end, Jay, I got into the psychological impact of this and how it's going to affect people because of all of the things that are, you know, the reconfiguration of people's lives and daily routines and so on and so forth. I think that the mental health industry, it can be argued, is going to have their hands full as well, you know, with this whole thing before it's all said and done.
Well, obviously, we're all in a funk here, and we're all, you know, trying to believe in the great, you know, curve, and it's going to be flattened. As we talk every week, there's no sign of a vaccine. We've seen stories. I don't know what to believe. And as we've also talked in recent weeks, you distribute it, you approve it, who gets it? We've already seen, you know, NBA players very easily able to get tests, yet somebody who's seriously ill cannot get a test. So privilege is taking over in this country, and once there is a vaccine, if there's a vaccine, you're going to see a pecking order. You're going to see Trump say, hey, that's the way it's always been in the world, and that's the way it'll be. So, I'm, again, searching for reasons to try to be positive and be, but why? I'm a realistic human being. And I know that, you know, each day, you know, just trying to get my exercise walking around Los Angeles for every idiot millennial who says, I'm going to have a hard time getting through the next 10 days. I see another restaurant shuttered and I read stories about the restaurant business dying and never coming back. And we can just go on and on where this might be headed there. I would hope if and when this ends that we would be a cleaner society in all ways, not just in regard to dirt and filth out there and disease, but in regard to being honest with each other and loving and peaceful. Again, I sound like John Lennon back in the day. I mean, there's no reason to imagine right now. I would love to have reasons, but every day brings more intense negative headlines I'm trying to avoid the media. I'm trying to avoid TV. But there's no sensationalism here, Dino. It's real. And you just have to abide by the advice and lock up and be smart.
You're a sports guy at your core, but you've got political interests like everybody else. As you look at this, and I think that we both are in agreement, even though I voted for him, I've been very critical of him at times, and I'm far from a sycophant of, you know, for Donald Trump or anyone else, Jay. But what are your thoughts personally concerning Trump's reaction to the virus since it started to really hit hard here in the United States, and if you think that will have an impact on his ability to get reelected in November, even if we have elections in November, by the way.
Right. Obviously very slow to switch, and then does a complete clumsy 180, and now I'm frightened by his every press conference. Earlier this week, he was contradicted by his health chief just seconds later. You know, I'm reading estimates, Dino, that up to 70% of the world's population may contract the disease. And every time I see Trump, I don't sense that realistic mode at all. I should say this, I would have no more faith in Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or Barack Obama or George W. right now. I'm not just going to hang this on Trump. I just don't know of any human being who could handle this. I don't. Maybe you could offer up one who might do a better job, but the job is too difficult, and it's overwhelming for a guy like this who never should have been the president in the first place. And, you know, when I speak as a commentator, I am a neutralist. I am apolitical. I am not going to tell you whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. I'm just calling them as I see them, as I always have as a sports commentator. No. Is he going to pull us out of this? No. But is any world leader going to do it? No. So, I mean, just to target Trump right now is unrealistic.
I agree. It is 15 minutes after the hour, hour two of the show. It's Jay Mariotti on with me again, proudly on Hireable. Jay joins me usually every Wednesday, but we couldn't get him on last night, so he flipped his schedule and on with us here tonight. How has the International Olympic Committee not canceled the games as of yet?
Because they are delusional, and that delusion is based on the multiple billions that have been invested by Japan and Tokyo and various broadcast networks, including NBC here in the United States. So this delay, which ultimately has to be a postponement or a cancellation, is riding on those billions. And again, it leads back to what I said about the NFL and the NBA. I mean, delusional people whose decisions are driven by billions of dollars. And that's why, you know, even Trump today said I've been in discussion with them, and they are thinking about postponing the games. Well, it's hard for me to take that seriously. That's July. I don't even know if we're going to have a July, and that's not hyperbole. I don't know what this world will look like in July. So for these people not to at least come out and say, hey, this is of a most severe nature, we are cognizant of it, and we will come out with an announcement once we have figured it out, that would be the reasonable thing to do, the appropriate thing to do. But they're thinking about their money, Dino, and I'm sick of sports people thinking about their money. I really am. I for 30-something years of covering this business, I was sick of sports people and sports networks thinking about their money in every decision they make. I certainly do not want to hear it right now.
It's going to affect every industry, what's going on. We know that. And, you know, the one industry I think right now that is asking itself if they just came along at the wrong time is, you know, with the advent of legalized betting across this country right now, Jay, and, you know, Las Vegas and the sports books and, you know, all of these different kinds of gambling operations across the country. These guys are taking a massive, massive hit. I know you don't want to talk about money, but in terms of the way that they're going to be able to cope with this, and if they're going to be able to cope with this, there's nothing to bet on. There's nothing to wager.
Well, I did see a story where they're taking bets on Turkish soccer, Argentina soccer, and various hockey games in Russia. So you can, if you are a really sick human being who needs help, can wager on this stuff. It's out there. I'm more worried, Dino, about the problem gamblers right now. Maybe this will jolt people into getting help. But right now, their routines have been disrupted, and I wonder what they're doing right now. I mean, what happens when a junkie doesn't have heroin anymore? That's what happens right now when a serious sports gambler who has a problem doesn't have sports to bet on. I'm sure there's something out there to bet on if you really want a prop bet, but even more so than the people in Vegas who I think are should be able to handle this at the moment, I'm more worried about the millions of problem gamblers in America and what they're doing right now.
If you got a question for Jay, send it along. It is DinoTalkUSA at gmail.com, DinoTalkUSA at gmail.com. First of all, would you agree with me with the prognostication that I came across within the first hour tonight that we will not see any sports the rest of this season? And when I say the season, I mean this calendar year.
Unless we see a quick remedy, a vaccine, I'm not seeing that anywhere. If that were to happen by some miracle, and by some further miracle, we could have that distributed and not politicized, and we can get that to the people who truly need it, and then we can resume some sort of normalcy, then yes, we can start to think about sports resuming. Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I don't see any miracle on the horizon. We keep waiting for the flattening of the so-called curve. I'm also waiting, Dino, for the flattening of negative news, but it's simply realism. And until we start to see positive signs instead of every day being another negative, why would I possibly think in a zillion years that sports would continue this year, that we'll even see a Tom Brady sighting in Tampa Bay? Sports people are always delusional. Dino, when I've been writing for that audience all these decades, I've always felt they never had perspective about the world. A lot of them immersed in gambling or their Chicago Bears or whatever, not really having any sense of the world out there. You and I have dealt with other crises. We dealt with 9/11. You and I were adults. We dealt with 9/11. I even go back to the 1989 earthquake in the Bay Area where I stuck it out after the World Series was postponed. I stayed out there for a week. Most sports media people went home. I decided to go cover an earthquake and go to these ravaged sites and seeing the bridges toppled. And obviously, I'm a journalist first. I once, you'll like or maybe not like this story, I was on the air during 9/11, literally on the air during 9/11. And that day, the day before, Michael Jordan had come back to basketball with the Washington Wizards. He told me and Jim Lutke of the Associated Press at a little gym on the west side of Chicago in the parking lot that, yes, I'm coming back to basketball. It was the biggest story in America on the night of September 10th, 2001. And the next morning, before I did my radio show, all these TV trucks are parked outside the studio. And in came all these people wanting to know about Michael Jordan returning to basketball, and whoosh, like that, as if I had said something wrong or I body odor or something, everybody fled to their trucks and left. I said, did I say something? And then I look up at the screen a few minutes later, and then the planes are crashing into the towers in lower Manhattan, and I go on the air with my two partners, Litke and Mike Mulligan. Mm-hmm. And not 15 minutes later, some advertising boss comes over and is in a heated argument with the programming boss, and they are screaming in the hallway at each other. I thought they were going to throw punches. The advertising guy said, get these clowns off the air. We need network programming. And our program director said, no chance. They're staying on the air. And for 3 hours, I believe, we pretty much, to the best of our ability in that studio in Chicago, did a show taking calls from horrified people and just showing that we're not sports people. We flipped the switch to real people. And to me, that was one of the most rewarding, although heartbreaking, times of my career. And the next day, we actually had a couple of mentions in big publications about how these guys actually, these sports people, had actually stayed on the air. So to answer your question in a roundabout way, I've always looked at people who are too into sports as still sitting in a sandbox at 12 years old, believing in a fairy tale world. I hope those people, including a lot of younger people right now who hopefully are starting to get it, will realize what we're involved with right now. This is an all-time health crisis affecting this country and this world, and who the fuck cares about Tom Brady?
Well, a lot, you mentioned the young people, and I'm amazed to see that the party goes on down in Florida with spring break right now, seemingly without a care in the world. I'm also interested in knowing, Jay, for you personally, I mean, Los Angeles is a big city. According to your governor there, all these people are going to be infected, and if and how you have made any changes to your regular routine, and also, you're a family man as well. You have two young daughters, and how they're dealing with it, and what you may have told them. Can you speak to a little bit about that?
Well, one of my daughters is in New Jersey across from New York City, and she is, you know, working out of home. She's responsible. I'm a little concerned for the same reasons I'm concerned, being in LA, the biggest population centers, obviously you're going to be vulnerable. That said, Dino, I read the story today about Sean Payton being infected in New Orleans, and turns out Louisiana per capita has one of the highest infection rates in America per capita. So, yes, I'm concerned being in L.A., and I'm concerned for her in New York. My other daughter is in North Carolina, that not quite as concerned. But then I read about Sean Payton, and Adam Schefter broke the story, and Payton was pretty expansive about what's going on in Louisiana post-Mardi Gras. And it made me think a little, none of us are safe. I'm sure there are safer areas than others, but every state in this union now is infected, and before long, every governor, Gavin Newsom is sort of stunting for money, I get that. He wants billions of dollars from Trump, and he's going to give you the worst case scenario. I understand that. You're soon going to see every governor in the country doing the same. I'm not so sure, Dino, planting yourself in the middle of Montana somewhere is the right thing to do, because you still need your friends. Yes, you can Skype them and you can text them and so on from anywhere. I get that. But you still need that interpersonal action with people you trust, even if it's 6, 10, 20 feet away. You still need that. You can't just isolate yourself somewhere you're not familiar with, or else you're going to mentally die. I mean, it's, you know, there's a mental battle here, is along with a health battle, and part of that is, your, as you mentioned earlier, your mental health. So I don't know if just getting out of here and moving to New Mexico makes a lot of sense.
I look at ESPN, I bring it up on the computer here in the studio, Jay. Here's what they're talking about right now. They've got a, they want you to go to SportsCenter and watch a NFL free agency special. I think that for many of these sports talk dweebs across this country, I think that NFL free agency has kind of saved them right now, at least for the time being, giving them something to talk about. But ESPN is covering that, as would be expected. You know, they're going to do that. But also, Celtics had a Celtics player and two Lakers test positive. You mentioned the Rams release Gurley. You mentioned Payton, Sean Payton testing positive. They've got that up there. Red Sox, Chris Sale to undergo Tommy John surgery. And this stupid Big Three Basketball League planning an underhouse quarantine tourney. So that's what they're talking about on ESPN right now. I don't know how much longer. I mean, once NFL free agency is over, and if the NFL does hold the draft, minus spectators in Las Vegas, you know that OTAs are not going to take place after that. And at that point, the NFL will be in virtual shutdown, pending what is going to happen in terms of where this virus is going to go and how or if it might impact this upcoming season. And as I say, I don't think the NFL is going to play this year. But when we get to the point where the NFL announces, as I forecast, that there's not going to be any more games this year, and no NHL, no NBA, no baseball, no Kentucky Derby, no Masters. I mean, what are these guys going to do, Jay, when there's nothing left?
return to the real world? How about that? What I just outlined for you, how I pride myself as a journalist, I hope that the people at ESPN, I used to work there 8 years doing a stupid TV show where we'd yell at each other about stupid things and they would mute you. And I made a ton of money off of it, and I'm kind of ashamed for it right now. But that's the profession I chose, sports writing, because I enjoyed sports, and then I evolved into a guy who understood that sports was multifaceted. It was really not about the games. It was everything about everything but the games. What's going to happen to sports? I think we needed a cleanse. What have we talked about for several years now, this entire century? Cheating scandals. Astros, Red Sox, Lance Armstrong, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Bob Kraft in a strip mall in Florida. Scandal after scandal after scandal, mostly involving cheating in the 21st century. Maybe we can just cleanse sports, and everybody can push the reset button and maybe start over and get our heads out of the gutter. Maybe media companies can stop these pathetic relationships they have for billions of dollars with these leagues. And ESPN used to stand for some sort of journalism. They don't have it anymore. They have no journalistic unit. Right now, you brought up their website, what's on there right now. Shame on them. They're actually blending in serious news about the coronavirus with Chris Sale being out for the year, one headline after another. Would you please divide it? Would somebody there get, you know, we're doing coronavirus coverage on this page, and then we're doing this stupid other crap on this page. No, they still don't get it up there. They honestly believe that there are people out there who care as much about Chris Sale as the coronavirus. That's what I mean, Dino. If you have a brain in your head, you're not really working at ESPN. They want people who don't think too deeply, who stand there and read from the, you know, teleprompter and don't make any waves. Like we've talked about earlier, wouldn't right now somebody like Bob Costas be the perfect man to come out and blend together the complete irrelevance of sports with the all-time epic relevance and magnitude of the coronavirus? That's the perfect guy right now I would be watching on, say, ESPN, a sports network. They wouldn't bring him out in a million years. They'd be petrified. And right now, when there are no fun and games, and the advertisers are starting to wonder about those dropping ratings, they have no idea what to do. So they stick on, you know, some old, you know, NBA games or something. Well, Dino, we have much bigger problems in the world than what's going to happen to ESPN.
Of course.
But if the next 3 months continue on the downward slope that we're seeing right now, there will be no ESPN at some point.
Right. Well, they're in protect their own ass mode. They're in protect their partners mode right now, which I can understand to an extent. And you're right. I mean, listen, I've often referred to sports as the toy department of life. You say it's irrelevant in the big picture. It is. But also recognizing and being cognizant of the fact, Jay, that the sports culture here in America well exceeds that of any other country in the world. It is such a huge part of people's lives. I think, you know, obviously these people, including myself, including you, and many other millions of people are going to have to make an adjustment and also be aware of the fact that, hey, this stuff really doesn't matter right now. Because we're talking about a life and death situation with this virus. You did have a question here. Ken Kaprisky asks me to throw this at you here, Jay. And in terms of maybe what sports leagues should be doing, maybe that they're not doing right now, he says, Dino, here's a question for Jay. Sports has always been an outlet for people, two 3 hour escape from their daily challenges. I'm interested in his perspective, Jay's perspective, on what sports leagues should do, considering they're obviously not a priority right now. He says he's got his own opinion, but he wants yours.
I think they should be completely flipping over and using their biggest stars to talk about the coronavirus and completely shut down operations. These are billionaires, Dino. These are multi-billion-dollar companies. They can shut down and not even think about sports. That would be, I think, a great message to send the masses about the importance of what we're dealing with as humanity, and to not be, well, maybe we'll come back in July. I think to keep planting that seed is incredibly irresponsible. That's the first thing I would do. And then second, I've seen a few athletes, I think on their own, Steph Curry, some others, do PSAs, essentially, telling people what they should be doing, because these now can be influencers who truly are influencing in important ways. Not these silly influencers we've seen on social media who give sex tips and whatever else they do on there. I mean, I'm talking about very influential athletes in this. I'd love to see Tom Brady right now. Tom Brady, if I were his agent, I'd say, Tom, get on there. Don't say a word about football or the Patriots or the Bucks. Say, hey, I'm Tom Brady. Please do this. And then maybe, Dino, some of these people in their 20s and 30s who continue to be in denial about this go, hell, if Steph Curry's saying it, Tom Brady's saying it, and this guy's saying it, maybe I should wash my hands, and maybe I should avoid contact, and maybe I won't go to the bar. There are no bars to go to. But as of last weekend, there were bars to go to. I should mention this, too, on the topic. Sean Payton attended a horse race over the weekend in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So there were, I assume, thousands of people at this. I thought last weekend we were sort of in lockdown and not supposed to be around groups of 50 or more at the time. Why did Sean Payton attend a horse race? So that's what I'm talking about. I think some people out there are either oblivious or maybe thinking they're invincible. I would love to for sports like the greatest coaches and athletes and owners, everybody out there, to right now devote all their attention and interest to the coronavirus and helping people get through this. That's what I would do if I were running a sports league.
And Ken Kuprinski just got back to me with another email. He says, Jay nailed it. A cleanse and a reset of priorities is needed. Enjoy sports with an appropriate perspective. He says he completely agrees with you, so he thinks you nailed it.
Good.
Yeah. In terms of if we want to turn the page a little bit and talk about some things that maybe can get us through outside of the coronavirus, in terms of with the proper perspective that is applied, of course, when we talk about the Brady situation and him leaving New England, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask what your thoughts were on that. Not that you want to prioritize it, but certainly it is a talking point that is open for discussion. So what were your whole thoughts on Brady and him leaving New England?
It's a shame that this collaboration couldn't have gone to the very end. But I blame Belichick in this case, because Bill just, he's an old grump, and that's why he's successful, because he's single-minded, and that's why he's the greatest coach ever, because he has a very utilitarian way of doing things, and he's hard-nosed, and he's thinking about the salary cap. He's not thinking about, gee, Tom and I have won 6 Super Bowls, been together 20 years. What a great story in history if we could go out together. Even if we don't win in the end, we went out together. What a statement to make in the 21st century. Nope. Well, it's our salary cap, but we gotta fit this guy. And Devin McCourty needs to be re-signed, and we need to think about a receiver. We got Tom's 42.
It's a great Belichick impersonation.
To me, that ruined it, and I lost respect for Belichick. Not all, but remember, he is a cheater. Hell, Brady's a cheater. But Belichick, when you say greatest coach ever, I'm not sure of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if other great coaches needed to spy. And we've seen this before in history when Joe Montana left the 49ers, but they had Steve Young waiting to go win a Super Bowl himself. There's no Steve Young in New England. There's nobody in New England. Jarrett Stidham. I don't get it. I don't understand why Bob Kraft this time, unlike the last time when Belichick, wanted to use Jimmy Garoppolo and get rid of Brady, and Kraft stepped in. This time Kraft said no. I think, Dino, they're being pragmatic, and it's, come on, he's a human being, and at some point Brady's going to break down, and we can't give him $30 million a year. To that, I would have said, why not? I think the Brady-Belichick-Kraft triad and keeping that around to the very end was more important than whatever the Patriots are going to do now, which is what exactly, and then whatever Brady is going to do in Tampa, which is what exactly. Neither man will win another Super Bowl, so they'll both have six. And so if we do resume football at some point, Brady gets to the wild card game and Belichick does it, who cares? It doesn't matter. Tom Brady wanted away from this guy because how many times, Dino, did you see Belichick, and somebody asked him about Brady and he go, Tom's a good player or something like innocuous like that. I mean, what? Say it, Bill. Tom is the greatest of all time. He finally did that release the other day, but my God, did they have to, you know, put a gun to his head to say that? That's the problem here. They were two headstrong people. It's kind of amazing they stuck around for 20 years, but I guess like Lennon and McCartney, one guy needs to prove to the other guy that he was a little bigger than the other. In truth, I'm not sure either man ever would have won a Super Bowl without the other. Maybe Belichick would have. I'm not so sure Brady would have without Belichick's system. But neither would have enjoyed anywhere near the success they had together, and it's a damn shame they didn't recognize it.
Well, I kind of agree with you on all of that. It's especially in this day and age when you don't see athletes that play the entirety of their career with one team. It's going to be jarring to see if they ever get back on the field. Of course, Brady playing in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform, but I wanted him to complete his career with the Patriots, and I think it's a prescient point you make, Jay, when you say, you know, in this together from the jump, from day one, we're going to ride this out, and if we got to go out together, well, you know, as you said, if we fail, if we don't win, well, we've done this together, and it is a marvelous story. So I would agree with just about everything you said there. Of course, NFL is still in business, but the other leagues have shut down. The Derby's been postponed. The Masters has been postponed. We're still waiting for the shoe to drop on the Olympics. I think that is probably going to come any week now. But there was one event, Jay, that went on from beginning to end, and it went on from beginning to end with some controversy this year because of a group by the name of PETA. The Iditarod mushed on from the start to the finish this year.
Well, social distancing applies. Yeah. It's not like the NBA where Rudy Gobert is possibly dripping sweat on Christian Wood. They both end up with the coronavirus. I guess if there's one event that could go on, it would have been that. I've seen other. I saw in Australia they opened a season. Is it rules football maybe with empty stands? They why would you do that? Australian rules football. Last I looked, they're all scrummed together like rugby or football. Yeah. What are they thinking about? Again, the absence of just common sense. Anybody even thinking about resuming? I guess in Canada last week, they had some sort of a wrestling match with U.S. Olympic hopefuls. Yeah, that's smart. Let's wrestle and sweat on each other on a mat amid the coronavirus. So the idiots are still going to be out there, Dino. I hope the next time we talk that there will be no more sports events going on, but chances are there will be.
You know, there's been reports that Donovan Mitchell is a little irked at Rudy Gobert. This is unsubstantiated because Mitchell has not made any public comments in regard to criticisms of his teammate Rudy Gobert, who is arguably the most popular player in that Utah Jazz locker room. And him and Mitchell are very tight. But if he is bitching and moaning and complaining about contracting this from Rudy Gobert, the thing I've thought, Jay, is how does Donovan Mitchell know that he didn't give the virus to Gobert instead of the other way around?
Right. That's a good point you made there. And there was a game a couple of Saturdays ago in Detroit where, or is it three now? I'm going blurry here. But recently in Detroit on a Saturday, Pistons Jazz, Christian Wood and Rudy Gobert, according to the Second Spectrum data people, had 58 different situations where one was guarding the other in the half court. Mm-hmm. 58! In fact, they had a little fracas near the end of the game, too, face-to-face. So 58 times they're face-to-face, and then they had a little fracas at the end of the game. Christian Wood, Rudy Gobert, and then Donovan Mitchell playing in the same game. I have no idea who had a first or second or third or whatever. But again, I go back to the great Adam Silver here, who everybody is praising in sports because nobody has a brain who covers sports when it comes to this stuff. Not asking the bigger question, if why did that game even happen when all over America at that point, we had certain cities that already were in crisis mode. San Francisco at the time was in crisis mode when the Brooklyn Nets were in San Francisco, and then four of their players, including Kevin Durant, who was on the trip, they test positive. Why were the Brooklyn Nets even in San Francisco, staying in a hotel? Why were the Utah Jazz and the Detroit Pistons playing in Detroit? And why aren't people attacking Adam Silver for that? I'm sorry, I've lost it. Adam Silver is this woke commissioner. He's the one who gets it. Yeah, in a lot of cases, including Donald Sterling, he certainly got it. He didn't pull the plug quickly enough. And he's patting himself on the back these days. Say, well, we were the league. Everybody, we made the decision. Everybody else followed. You're the league where everybody is dripping sweat in a game. You should have considered that weeks before you actually pulled the plug.
There's a guy that comes on this show weekly, as you do. In fact, he's coming on right after you, covers the world of pro wrestling. And I'm not, I've never been a big wrestling fan, but I find the industry very fascinating and compelling, mostly from a business point of view. But WrestleMania was supposed to take place down in Tampa before 90,000 people, Jay. Now, if you know anything about wrestling, I mean, this is how much I know about wrestling. The crowd, the audience, is such a central component within pro wrestling. The wrestlers feed off the crowd, the crowd's reactions, the good guy, the bad guy, the whole thing. Now they're going to take WrestleMania, which is usually before 90,000 people, and they're going to bring it inside a studio with no fans, and they're still going to hold this WrestleMania. I can't figure this out. Why would you do that? Why not just cancel money. The fucking thing?
Money. It's the same reason Adam Silver is trying to save their season. Money, because they're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars this the NBA if they don't have the playoffs and the finals, because they obviously don't get all the same amount of television money they would. Same goes for WrestleMania. They are convinced that a certain number of people will actually pay to watch that, even without fans. And the NBA is convinced that even if they have to move forward without fans in the stands, that, as Adam Silver said the other day, I wish he wouldn't have said this, people are stuck at home. They need entertainment. I wish he would not have uttered those words. That sounds like a guy who's sitting in a room with a bunch of frightened owners going, we need our money back. What are we going to do? Well, I have an idea. Let's do it. See, I don't want those conversations to exist. I don't care. Two craps about their leagues. I don't care, you don't care, and anybody who has a big picture look at the world right now is not thinking about the poor NBA and how they're going to come back and whether these billionaires are going to lose a few hundred million dollars each.
Well,
sorry,
I think it's
unfair. And the same goes for WrestleMania. Dino, that's still a health risk. If you're asking athletes to get in a ring,
yeah,
or basketball players to go on a court, it's still a health risk.
Right.
And don't tell me, oh, they've been tested. There have been cases, Dino, where people have been tested and they're negative, but then they go back and they're positive. Or there have been people who have had it positive, they think they're through with it, and then they go back and then they're positive again. So don't sit here and tell me, yeah, we're going to have a quarantine and we'll be fine. You have no idea what's going on in regard to health. So don't sit there and make these wrestlers go into a ring and potentially get the coronavirus. Same goes for Silver in the NBA. Same goes for anybody out there, any sports entrepreneur who's still trying to make money off of sports. You've seen the music industry very wisely, right across the board, no more concerts. And the music industry is doing great things. Like the guy from Coldplay, Chris Martin, started a wave of people doing impromptu streaming concerts from their own living rooms, and they're getting lots of attention for that. And John Legend followed, and Keith Urban followed, and various others are. It's a great way to connect with your audience. You're doing it for free. You care about people. And yet in sports, we still have people trying to make a buck.
Yeah, well, unfathomable. You told me just a few days ago somebody spoke with them, had the Golden State Warriors ticket office call and ask if you wanted to buy tickets.
You know why? Because they're losing their ass up there. They won 12 games this year. All their players got hurt, and after all this success they've had, they're in a new arena charging insane prices, and now all of a sudden season ticket holders are saying, I'm not coming back next year. I saw the best of this dynasty. I'm not coming back. I don't even know if there's going to be a next year. So they've got people actually calling people on a waiting list, wondering if they'll buy season tickets. My God. I can't believe that.
It's Mariotti. It's Jay Mariotti. He's with me every week here on the show. Listen, I said this in the first hour, Jay. You look at all of – I mean, this is going to affect – everything, every business, every sports league, every organization, every concert. I mean, cafes, restaurants, bars, nightclubs, gyms, hotels, theaters, cinemas, art galleries, shopping malls, craft fairs, museums, musicians, sporting teams and leagues, cruise lines, airlines, public transportation, private schools, daycare centers, in addition to a whole bunch of other things. I said in the first hour, Jay, think about the cratering of the financial market in terms of commerce and business in this country. If this thing really hits DEFCON 1 levels, this, I said in the first hour, this has a chance, and I pray that this doesn't happen. But in terms of cratering the overall financial institutions, including the banks and, you know, mortgage lenders and all that, this has a chance to make the Great Depression back in the 20s look like a walk in the park eventually, possibly.
I think as we have incrementally talked about this in recent weeks, we have headed to this point where I think we're just realistic people, we're smart people, and I don't think it's irresponsible to suggest that. I don't think we're at that point yet. This is not quite the plague before the apocalypse, but if we keep talking every week and we're still sitting here 2 months from now and it has just gotten progressively worse, why not think this would be worse than the Depression? Maybe we're sitting on the worst times this country has ever seen. I don't want to go there. I am trying not to sound like an alarmist.
Yeah.
But why? I also don't want to be one of these mamby-pambies sitting there, you know, watching Sports Center every night. I am very concerned, if not frightened, what's happening, and I'm trying to be very responsible, and I have that cleaner with me at all times, and I'm washing my hands, and you have to self isolate. You have to. This is a time to lean on your friends and your family, and I just. None of us know what that magical date is, you know, if there ever will be a magical date. This is where people are tested. This is where you find out about character in people, including your president and your leaders. This is where you find out about friends, and this is where you find out about employers. And how do the L.A. Rams feel today getting rid of people? Way to go, Stan Kroenke. You feel good today, Stan, you billionaire, you? I mean, what... I understand why certain strapped people, maybe people own restaurants, have no choice. I think Stan Kroenke, before cutting Todd Gurley today, probably I would have called Roger Goodell and said, I'm going to do this. I cannot do this today. Maybe I'll have to do it in 3 months. I can't do this today. It's a bad look. Nope, they just cut him because Stan Kroenke's living in another world. So, I don't know. Perspective is so badly needed right now. I would like the sports world to make a good appearance right now, but it simply is not.
Well, I'll tell you the thing that I don't have any tolerance for. One, people who aren't taking this seriously, even up to this point in time. And two, those who continue to utilize this as a tool of, you know, playing partisan politics. I have no time for that. In other words, the people that are saying, well, this is nothing more than a hoax, or it's a tool that has been designed to ratchet up fear, and, you know, the liberal media across this country is doing this in an effort to undermine Trump's candidacy as, you know, going into a new election season. I have no time for this, Jay. I mean, because this is beyond partisan politics, just like it's well beyond thinking about the toy department of life, sports.
Well, the best way to handle that is don't watch. Don't watch CNN. Don't watch Fox News. avoid the political coverage of the New York Times and the Washington Post, which is slanted against Trump. And, of course, they have run with his China remarks this week. And with their very professional coverage of the coronavirus, you'll see a little sprinkled in commentary, you know, this is Trump at his worst, or Trump ends reign with China comment, or like, wait a minute, get that out of here. Again, put it somewhere else. I want your serious up-to-the-minute coverage here. I don't want it sprinkled in with a little brainwashing. This is all about Trump. Oh, okay, let's go back to the coverage, huh? See, that's where they lose it for me. They're doing awesome work, those two publications, best Wall Street Journal as well. But the Wall Street Journal refrains from what I just said. The Times and the Post, and along with CNN and Fox with their own agendas, which way you want to go, they are so overwhelmed by their own hubris and egos when it comes to rubbing Trump out of office that they use this crisis for selfish motives. And yes, I don't know what happened to media critics right now, but right now we need them more than ever because the media are front and center. People are at home, you know, they have nothing to do, so they either do something wise, like go out and buy 20 books or go to the library and find books and read them, or watch old movies, or you know, go stream a series or something like that. The last thing you want to do right now is to transfix on this crap every night, because chances are one network or the other will have an agenda that ultimately, during that time you're watching, will try to plant a seed in your head that either this has nothing to do with Trump or everything to do with Trump. Now, there's no middle ground with them. So how do you eliminate what you just mentioned? Don't watch that crap.
Well, the last thing I got for you here, Jay, is I think ESPN can take comfort knowing that at 11 o'clock Eastern every night, they've got the man that will reassure America of everything. He'll break it down and do it in ways that can relate to people. Thank goodness ESPN has someone by the name of Scott Van Pelt.
He's soft. That's why he's there. I mean, if I were ESPN, I keep bringing up Bob Costas. If that's not realistic, I would have found the best possible interviewer, the most conscientious, hard-hitting, well-rounded possible commentator you could find in your ranks or outside your ranks, not necessarily even sports. Go find him and put him in that primetime slot, because that slot is either going to make or break ESPN down the road.
So you're saying
initially,
what they should do?
On,
yeah. Well, what you're saying they should do?
To Jay, college kids. They said it.
Yeah.
And his initial shows when he was put in that slot were ridiculous. They had strobe lights and some idiot named Stanford Steve. And your bet? And what did you lose? Like what are your bad beats this week? I'm like, wait a minute. Am I some kid back in Beta Theta Pi? What? No, I'm a mature man who really wants the day's sports news here. So one night I tweeted, it's a damn shame that SportsCenter has abandoned the principles of 30 for 30, which I think is great. I think their documentaries are wonderful. They're done by professional Hollywood people, and I would expect them to trot out a bunch more right now. That would be fine programming right now, instead of replaying others. I think the Bulls dynasty is coming up. Anyway, this moron tweets me back.
I know.
He gets into a Twitter war with me, and I hate Twitter wars,
yeah.
But I had to kind of put him in his place and call him a liar about some things, and then he stopped. And what it told me was, this man is a company man who's doing the company's bad work, and he should just really concentrate on his program. Now, I've watched him a couple of times in this period, and I don't know. I'm glad they are smart enough to realize a lot of seasons were canceled, college seasons, high school seasons, and it's just a horrible tragedy for young people who have worked up to try to win a championship to have that dream cut off right now. And on that broadcast each night, they do, honor a team that was cut short. So that part of it, great idea. Continue that. But again, I don't need them leading with today's NFL free agency news. it's awkward for them because they are a sports network and their new president has said stick to sports. But sticking to sports meant don't go down the Trump road and don't go woke on us. It didn't mean, you know, drop the ball on coronavirus coverage. We're just doing NFL stuff. So I think ESPN's in a tough spot here, Dino, because their new president said stick to sports. So this guy at night and everybody else there has to stick to sports. Meanwhile, you might have Jeremy Schaaf, if he still works there, doing a snippet on the coronavirus. So it's a network that is thoroughly irrelevant right now because they you know, have to stick to sports. And I think their ratings will drop like a brick. And I really worry about their future because now they've had a big problem with cord cutting to begin with. Now how many people are going to cut cords, not only involving ESPN, but the rest of cable TV? I think that's another endangered species in this country. People are going to get used to streaming right now when they're at home, and they're going to realize it's cool to call up Chris Martin or John Legend and stream him, and maybe they don't really care about Scott Van Pelt or ESPN anymore.
Well, I think you sum up Van Pelt very well. I'm not a big fan of his, and I think that you use the words that really identify him. He is the ultimate company man, and I brought his name up because I knew you had a little back and forth with him in the past. But
it's astonishing how all the sheep in the industry didn't realize what I was saying, and essentially in the tweet I said, do you realize this man is lying about me and doesn't understand an entire story? And yet he was allowed to do that, and my guess is ESPN probably applauded him for it. So no love lost here, me and ESPN, but when I talk about their future, I need people to know this. Right now I'm an independent sportscaster, and I've been doing media criticism since I was 21 at the Detroit News, so you know I'm pretty experienced, and I know what's happening at that network, and I'm not giving you a line of BS here. They know they're in trouble, and they are as frightened right now as any sports league about the future, because they have hooked their wagon onto sports and nothing but sports, and 30 for 30s only go so far, Dino. They have, what, 6-7 channels they have to fill time on, and I don't think reruns are going to cut it.
Another great hour, Jay. Another great hour. Take care of yourself out there. Be safe. And we do it again next Wednesday night.
Look forward to it.
Thanks buddy. That's Jay Bamriotti, and proudly unhirable. Proudly unhirable. With Jay. It's good stuff. It's the only place you can hear him is right here. Usually on Wednesday nights, but of course we had the phone issues. And thanks to the fine folks at Comrex, we no longer have phone issues, and so Jay comes on. All right, break here at the top, and then Big Daddy's coming on, the Guardian of Chaos. Going to be interesting to see what he...